Morning. I think we're awake now. I don't know about you. How's everybody this morning?
Blessed, thank you, Lord.
Amen. We are blessed. Father, we do love you. We thank you. We praise you. We just glorify your name this morning, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your encouragement, Lord. We thank you for all that you give us. And we're here to worship you this morning. As we continue in worship, Lord, we thank you that you're right here with us. And all God's people said, amen and amen. If you'll stand with me this morning as we read our scripture reading together. This morning we'll be reading from 1 Thessalonians after chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. Let's begin. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. You may be seated. We dismiss our children this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you'll open to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Our title this morning is Prayer and Proper Order. Prayer and Proper Order. I don't know how far we're going to get today. There's a lot of notes. I'll have Norman jumping back there on everything. But we're just going to go as far as the Lord takes us this morning. Let's begin with verse 1. Therefore, I exhort you, or exhort first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. In our previous study and in the previous part of Paul's letter, he shows us the importance of sound doctrine. We know that we have to have the sound doctrine, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the foundation upon what we build upon. And here, as he's moving forward, he's showing us now that we have that firm doctrine in place, and now that we're being obedient to preaching the gospel and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's showing us the importance of prayer. And it's very important that we grab a hold of this entire concept, because we know that as we study God's Word, as we draw closer to Him, we have to have prayer in place in order for us to seek wisdom and understanding and guidance of the sound doctrine. We need to be praying and seeking for that wisdom. But we also need to be praying for one another. And Paul tells us here that we should be praying for all men, just not a select few. See, it's easy to pray for those that you like. It's easy to pray for those that you're friends with, but he says to pray for all men. Now, looking at the wording that Paul has here, he lists four things that we're to gauge in regarding prayer. We have supplications, he lists prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. So we're going to take a look at each one of these, and we're going to see where they place in our lives. Where are we focusing in our prayer time? And I'm going to start with prayer, and the reason I'm going to start with the word prayer is because it's kind of an umbrella, if you will, that encompasses all of the other aspects that Paul is talking about here. And the Greek word used for prayer here is prosuke. Prosuke. That means worship. And implication means an oratory or earnest conversation with God. An earnest conversation with God. And if you look at this, it kind of describes and gives us a definition of prayer as a very personal time of communication with the Lord. And it should be a personal time. We're talking with our Creator. We're talking with our Father. And so when we're communicating with Him, we actually are verbalizing our prayers. We're actually seeking Him. And this is a form of worship. Prayer is part of our worship. And I know that when we come to church on Sunday, worship is often thought of as just the singing. Well, that's our worship time, and then we begin the teaching. But the truth is that all aspects of our relationship with Christ is worship. And it's to be considered that. We're not to separate in a regard to say, well, this is important that we do this part of worship, and then the rest is something different. No, it's all worship. And worship begins in our heart. Worship begins with who we are in Christ and understanding our relationship with Him. And so looking at this word prayer here and this part of worship, it's like an umbrella that covers all the other things, the supplications, the intercessions, and the thanksgiving. They all fall under this time of worship with the Lord. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always and pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually, steadfastly in prayer." And Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Now this shows us that we're to always be in a state of prayer. Now, I'm not saying here that we're all to have our heads bowed all the time, and especially if you're driving down the road, don't bow your head and close your eyes and ask the Lord to take control of the car. He is in control, but He does expect you to keep your hands on the wheel, and He expects to guide you through using your body and your emotions and everything on the road. But while we're not supposed to always be on our knees in our prayer closet, we're always supposed to be remaining in a conversation with the Lord. And it should be something that's just comes naturally, a natural conversation. Whether you're driving, whether you're working on the computer, and I know that many of us have to work on the phones and we have to deal with different people, but there's always this time to where even in the middle of listening to someone else's conversation, you can be in the state of prayer. Because many times people that you're communicating with, people that you're talking with are in the need of prayer. They may not want to receive your prayer, but they may be in need of your prayer. And so we need to always be in this place where we're saying, "Lord, keep my antenna up, if you will, regarding you, regarding your Spirit, regarding prayer, so that I'm always focusing upon what I'm supposed to be focusing on, which is the Lord." It's not like a phone call when you hang up and call again another time. That's not what prayer is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be just your morning devotion of 5 minutes in prayer, 5 minutes of reading, of meditation, and then you go on about your day. It is a continual line. And cable goes down, satellite goes down, but our communication with the Lord never fails. It's always working. The problem is that we say, "Well, I don't always hear from the Lord." Well, it's because we may not be listening. We may break the reception by getting involved in things we shouldn't be involved in, by letting our emotions control the moment, by letting us get into situations to where we have put a block between us and the Lord. The Lord is still communicating, but we're not able to hear because we're not focusing on Him. We're focusing on something else. And again, it's not like an email that you hit send and turn off your computer and go about your day. This prayer that Paul is talking about is the extension of our relationship with Him. And it's a continual thing. And it's not always talking. It often encompasses listening. And that's, again, an open door. It's an open avenue between us and the Lord where we do oratory, as we say. We present our prayers. We present our supplications. We present our intercessions. We give Him thanks. All of these things we're doing, but we're also taking moments to where we're just listening. We're waiting to hear what the Lord would say. And then he may give us some gold nugget that we may have missed. We may have read a certain passage in Scripture. And as we're praying, as we're seeking the Lord, all of a sudden a light comes on that Scripture in our heart. And it just rings true to what we're going through or what we're seeking. And it's just something that gives us more ability to pray. See, this is the thing about prayer, is that when you're reading and studying God's Word, His Word comes alive to us because it is the living Word. And as He speaks to us, then we're able to hear through His Word and through His spoken voice. He does speak to us. That's not necessarily where you're going to hear a loud voice. It's not going to be something that, you know, He's going to knock on the door, you open up, and His voice is speaking to you. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that He connects with you on whatever level you are at in order to hear Him. So we need to present ourselves available. We need to make ourselves available to the Lord through prayer. It's the attitude of the heart that we're talking about. It's desiring Him, seeking Him, whether it's silently between us and the Lord or whether it's out loud. And again, reading the Psalms or other passages of Scripture also keeps us in the spirit of prayer. It keeps us in this place of understanding and wisdom and discernment. And many times, as I said before, it resonates in our heart as we study. And that very Scripture is what God wants to give us to apply to the very moment of our need. So prayer here is a broad spectrum. The word prayer is a broad spectrum of communicating with the Lord and encompasses so many things. Which leads us to the second thing, which is supplications. Supplications. Now the Greek word used here for supplications is deosis. Deosis. It's a petition. It's a prayer request. It's a supplication. You're actually putting things out there before the Lord. This is a more specific type of prayer, something that we may have a need of, or a desire of, or for ourselves or for someone else. It may be just something that the Lord has placed upon our heart, that we're praying for someone else. Supplications are often personal things between us and the Lord. Our health, our finances, our relationships are often lifted up as supplications in the Lord. And praying for wisdom and discernment are also supplications to the Lord. We're asking this, a very specific thing. Oh Lord, give me wisdom. As James says, when you pray for wisdom, you pray believing that you will receive that wisdom. Don't pray doubting, but you pray for it. You know that the Lord wants to give you that. This is one of those things, you know, we don't do the name it, claim it thing here. We don't just throw something out there and claim it to be ours. But wisdom is a gift from God. Wisdom is a promise from God. And wisdom is given by God when we seek Him for it. And we ask Him for it. And we desire it. These are all supplications made to the Lord. And all of these things are to be lifted up to Him. See, it's okay to ask. It's okay for us to go to our Father and ask for our needs. He knows what our needs are, but He wants to give us the ability to voice them to Him. It brings us closer together to God when we pray and ask things from Him. Matthew 7:7-11 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" So He wants us to ask. He wants us to seek. He wants us to put our supplications out to Him. Now, there's a couple of things that we have to look at when we're doing that. Number one is we need to examine the attitude of our heart. In other words, what are we asking for? Because it says, if you ask, it will be given to you. You seek, you will find. But it also, the Word also tells us that we're to be praying His desires. Seek the Lord, desire Him above all things, and He will give us the desires of our heart. So if our attitude is wrong, they're not the desires of the heart that He gives us, and those things we probably shouldn't be praying for. We should only be praying for what the will of God is in our lives. And as we seek that will of God, as we put ourselves into a position where we're desiring Him above all things, that's when this scripture will be applied to us. Then we ask and it will be given, because He's blessing us with what we're asking for, because it's within His will to do so. But if it's not in His will, then we shouldn't be asking for it. And that's why the scripture tells us, when you pray, Lord, Your will be done. Not my will, but Your will be done. And there's another aspect of this that we need to be aware of, and we need to guard ourselves from. If we find ourselves worrying, if we find ourselves with anxieties and we're anxious about our lives or our circumstances, then our supplications can often be all about ourselves. It only becomes about me. It only becomes about what I need and how desperate I am and how horrible life is and how bad my circumstances are and all of these things. And if we find ourselves in that place, we find ourselves with no room to pray for other people. And one thing that I think is very, you know, I'll use the word therapy if you want. I don't know what other word to use at this point. But a good therapy for our soul is to pray for other people more than you pray for yourselves. It's amazing when you're not looking at your own things and you're not focused on your own problems, but you're actually lifting someone else up. It is amazing to how your heart becomes more free. And you find yourself not being in worry, not being over anxious, but in all things we're submitting them to Him. Luke 12:29-34 tells us, he says, "Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things." This is, again, part of what we're talking about here, is God wants us to pray for what we need, but He knows what we need, and we don't need to be so anxious and focusing on the simple things of life that He's already got taken care of for us. Amen. We need to move beyond those things. It says here, but seek the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So it's an attitude of the heart. It goes back to the definition of prayer. We're communicating with God. We're seeking Him, we're desiring Him, but if we're coming to Him with a bad attitude, if we're coming to Him with anxiety about what we don't have instead of thankfulness for what we do have, then we find ourselves focusing on the wrong things. And then we can ask, well, why is God not answering my prayer? He knows I need a job. He knows I need this. He knows I need that. Yes, He does. But are you being thankful to Him for the simple fact that you have a relationship with Him? Are you positioning yourself in a place with God to where you can actually say, oh Lord, I am thankful no matter what my circumstances are, because my circumstances do not dictate who I am in You. And until we grasp that understanding and grasp that thought, then our prayers do seem to be bouncing off the walls or the ceilings, because we're praying things that God already wants to give us, but He would rather wait to give us those things until we have our heart right with Him, because we're supposed to be seeking the kingdom of God. That should be the desire of our heart. The third thing is intercessions. And the Greek word for intercessions is entiouxis, and it's basically threefold here. There's different words involved in this. The first word is entiouxis, and it's an interview, specifically an intercession, a supplication or intercession. Now, intercession is basically meaning that you're interceding for someone else. You're interceding in prayer for someone else. It comes from the root word entunkano, which means to confer with, or by extension, to entreat in favor or against. So when we're entreating and interceding prayer, we're seeking God in favor for someone or against for something in someone's life that may be pulling them or tugging them. And then there's another root word here, tung kano, and it says, for which the middle voice of another alternate to make ready or to bring to pass. So when you put all of this together, what it shows us is that intercessory prayer is very specific, and it's twofold. And first, we're called to pray for one another. That's what Paul is telling us here in our text this morning. This is interceding for one another. We should be lifting up our families and our friends every day. We should be lifting up our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord every day. We should be standing in the gap for them, for their protection, for their direction, praying that God would give them, for those in our families that are not saved, that God would touch their heart, bring people into their lives that they will listen to. It's funny, you know, we talk about this a lot, but you know, if you're a parent, you can tell your child something 50 times and it just goes right past them. But a friend says something to them, oh, guess what I learned today? Well, I've been telling you that for years. They don't even hear it. It's like they want to grow on their own. They want to be out from under mom and dad's wisdom. But unfortunately, they're not necessarily gaining their own wisdom if they're not seeking the Lord. And so God can place people in their lives and that can intervene for them. And to intercede for someone is that very thing. You place yourself in a place of pleading for someone else or making a petition for someone else. Jesus gave an example of this when he prayed for Peter. Remember Simon Peter? Satan wanted him. Satan was after Peter. And Luke 22, 31 through 33 says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. I have interceded for you. I have pleaded for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. See, Jesus knew he was going to deny him. He knew he was going to stand there three times and say, I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't hang out with him. I'm not one of his disciples. But he pleaded to the Father for Peter. He said, when you return to me, that you'll be able to strengthen your brethren. See, this is the wonderful thing that we have. We have an intercessor, a mediator between us and the Father. And that's what Jesus does. Romans 8:34 says, who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Wow, is that not a powerful thing? To know that Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father, and is interceding for you and for me to the Father. What a blessing that is. What a relationship we have. And it's so important that we never lose sight of that, for what Jesus did for us and what he is doing for us. See, his earthly ministry is no longer here except through the church. His earthly ministry continues through the church, but he himself now intercedes for the church. He himself is now in a spiritual ministry, and he is serving with the Father, and he is ministering to us and praying for us. But as the extension of the church, this is what we're called to do. We're called to intercede for one another. Now, the second part of intercession is a little bit different because it's more on the spirit side. It's spirit-led intercession. Now, it's all spirit-led from the standpoint when we're communicating with God, but there's a type of intercession that is a spiritual intercession. And often in our walk with the Lord, God lays someone upon our heart. It's a heaviness. It happened to me last week. I'm not going to go into details because I don't want to share who and what it was, but I had this dream. And in this dream, I saw this person being chased. They were just chased through the whole dream. Didn't appear that they were really in harm's way, but they were constantly being chased through the whole dream. And it started with one or two, and then it was just a crowd of people chasing this person all around. And when I woke up, I began to pray for this person. The Lord laid it on my heart that particular day in general to pray for this specific person, that whatever it is that may be chasing them would be stopped, would be moved, would be removed from them, because I sensed it was harassment. And I found out just yesterday that this person had a person that was harassing them at work. And that person quit last week. God moves through prayer. He moves through intercession. And you need to be in focus of these things. You need to be praying for one another, but you need to be listening to the Spirit, because when you enter into spiritual warfare, you're entering into a whole other realm that you do not want to be naked. You do not want to be uncovered. You do not want to be involved unless the Lord is leading you into that. And this is when we need to be listening to the Spirit. This is when we need to be obedient to the Lord. We don't always know the reason that we may have a burden. Sometimes you're just burdened. You don't really understand that burden, but you know it's there, and there's a heaviness there, and the Spirit knows. The Spirit is the one that's placing that burden upon you, and He's placing it there for you to intercede for someone else. And this may also come with the need for fasting. There are times when prayer is not just enough. God wants us to pray, but He also, times, will lead us into fasting. And when you're dealing with the spirit realm, this is one of those areas where we're often called to fast. If you ever find yourself in a place of a burden for prayer, you might want to consider asking the Lord at that same time, Lord, I don't know what this is about. I don't know why this is on me. Unless He's giving you more detail, you may not know. But it may be a time where He's also calling you to fast and pray. Because fasting and prayer go hand in hand when you're dealing with spiritual warfare. Daniel understood that in Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 through 4. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books of the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make a request by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and with those who keep His commandments. Daniel knew he needed to fast and pray at this particular time. In Mark chapter 9, 28 through 30, Jesus is speaking with His disciples, because His disciples were going out casting out demons as He sent them to do. But they had some problems. They come across the situation, the demon wouldn't leave. And so they come back and they're talking to the Lord, Mark 9, 28 through 30. And when He'd come into the house, His disciples asked Him privately, why could we not cast it out? But you did. Why could we not do that? And He said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So they go hand in hand. Now, sometimes fasting is something that's planned. I mean, you know, I could come in and say, we're going to announce a day of fasting, and I want every one of you to fast. And if God lays it on my heart to ask that of you, I will do so. He's not done that at this point. But it may be a situation to where you need to be open to it between you and the Lord. Because it's very important many times that in order for us to deny, and see, here's what fasting does. It takes our mind and it focuses all on the Lord, because we're going to go through this period of self-sacrifice. We're going through this season of laying it down before the Lord and denying. This is part of denying the flesh. And for most of us, food is not necessarily the easiest thing to deny. You know, we all think about it. We all wonder. We all want to go eat. We all know what we want to eat. We know what we like to eat. And sometimes God wants us to take that and set it aside in a specific time of focusing on Him, so we have clear vision. Our minds are clear. But secondly, it's because now He's able to minister to us and through us and give us more of His Spirit, because we are denying more of our flesh. And that's something that we need to consider doing. But I do have a word of caution. Be sure. Seek, ask, know for wisdom and discernment that you're hearing from the Holy Spirit before you enter into spiritual warfare. You have to be covered by the Holy Spirit. You have to be covered in the Word. You have to have the Lord there with you during spiritual warfare. Many times, again, emotions get in the way of what God wants to do. And sometimes if we're burdened with something, we want to tackle it. Well, I know, well, God put this on my heart, man, I'm going after it. I'm going along, you know, head first into it. And He may not be calling you to do that. It's the same thing as if the Lord gives you a word to pray for someone, it may be between you and the Lord, not for you to go share it with that someone. They may not be ready to hear it yet. They may not be in a place to where they're listening. And so God tells you something, you need to pray for this person. Many times we'll say, well, Lord told me this, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. Well, next thing you know, this person walks away wounded because they weren't in a place to hear it, and we were not in the correct place to tell it. See, the Spirit moves in many different ways, and so we have to be listening precisely to the direction. We need to be obedient to the direction, and don't try to get ourselves in the way of it. We can mess it up. And it's very important that we understand that. But the main point that I'm making right here is that when you enter into spiritual warfare, the enemy is going to push back. He's not going to sit idle as you are in a mindset and a heart set of spiritual warfare. He is not going to sit idle. He's going to push back. And if the Lord didn't take you into this battle, don't go into the battle. Don't put yourself in a dangerous position trying to tackle spiritual things in the flesh. You will lose. The enemy is strong. He's not stronger than the Lord. He's not equal to the Lord in any way, shape, or matter. That's one thing that we have to make clear, too, when we're talking about spiritual warfare. We're not putting Satan against Jesus as equal partners here in one against the other. We've got Jesus, who is God. Amen. And we have Satan, who is a created being. He doesn't have the same power on the negative side that Jesus has on the positive side. The yin and the yang doesn't cut it with this. This is a created being, but this created being is operating in the spiritual realm, and he is more powerful than you or I are. And we have to understand that we don't go against Satan. We don't go knocking on his door in his territory, walking into his room and start preaching the gospel unless God told us to do it. Because it can, again, they will push back. The enemy will push back. There's a story, I think I've shared this story before, where Jennifer, my wife, was in college up in, I believe it was in North Carolina. And in this particular town, there was a witch's coven up on top of the mountain. And one of the college guys, he decided he was going up there and he was gonna just bring God to that little village or whatever it was. And he went, and he came running back. He wasn't called to go do that. He stepped out in his flesh, and his flesh got whooped. And he came running back terrified. See, we're not supposed to be terrified of the enemy. We should never be terrified of him. But we should know our boundaries are only given to us by the Lord. We do not put ourselves into spiritual situations that we don't belong. Now, with that being said, I will say that there are some people that have a special calling on their life for this type of intercession. It's not limited to them, don't get me wrong. It's not like something that just a certain people can only do it. Not a little secret club of interceders, that's not it. But God does have certain people that are sensitive to the spiritual things, more sensitive to them. And so as he's ministering to others, as he's calling people to pray, he may lay that burden upon certain people's heart more often than others because they're obedient to it, they're sensitive to it, and therefore they will do it appropriately because they know it's from the Lord. So one thing I would encourage you this morning is pray for the intercessors. Pray for those who do intercede for others more because they need, they're burdened down sometimes. To be an intercessor or prayer person means that you sometimes are burdened down, not only with your own stuff, but everybody else's. And it's not an easy place. Now, God will not put it upon people that more than they can bear. We know this is what the Scripture tells us and temptation, but I also believe he will not put more heaviness on us to pray for other people than we can bear either. And he will bring others to support. It reminds me of Moses. When Moses had his rod and he held it up with his hands, the battle was won, but his hands got weak. They came down. The enemy began to win. So he had them come beside him, and they raised their hands together, and they lifted the rod, and then they won the battle. We're not in this alone. We're not in a relationship with the Lord alone. We are brothers and sisters. We're to be praying for one another, encouraging one another, standing with one another, and serving as God calls us to serve. Now again, God can use any of us here for intercessory prayer, but some are more sensitive to it. And we need to find out too, the closer we get to the Lord, are we open to it? Because that's another area sometimes that we can walk in fear of. Lord, I don't want to enter into that. But if God's calling us to, he will protect us. He will guide us. And as we pray, he will meet that prayer right where it needs to be met. And again, I think of Daniel. You know, Daniel goes to the Lord in prayer. And 21 days later, the archangel shows up, said, I was coming right then, but got tied up in spiritual warfare. Had to fight Satan. We had to power of the air. We were up there wrestling it out. And then he called others to come, and then he was able to come and give the answer. See, intercessory prayer in the spirit realm, that means there's a lot of stuff going on that we don't see. There's a lot of spiritual things happening. And we need to be aware of that so that we also don't get discouraged. This is another aspect of intercessory prayer. When we're burdened for this, we're praying for it, we're putting it before the Lord, and we don't necessarily see an immediate result, it can be discouraging. I've been praying for a breakthrough and I'm not getting it. And as we said earlier, we have to make sure that our prayer is not a selfish prayer out of worry and anxiety. But at the same time, if we're praying for somebody else and we're not seeing that breakthrough, we can't quit. We can't just stop because we're not seeing an answer. We can't just stop because we're not seeing the fruit. We have to move forward in it. We have to continue to go forward and do what God's called us to do. And intercessory prayer is work. It's work. It's not easy. It takes a lot of focus. It takes, again, a lot of times it takes fasting. But it takes complete dedication to follow through with what God's calling us to do. So intercessory prayer, ask the Lord to reveal how you can be a part of that and what he wants you to do in that. But again, seek wisdom and understanding as you go into intercessory prayer. The fourth thing here is giving of thanks. And the Greek word used here is eucharistia. It means gratitude. Or grateful language to God. Again, it's an act of worship. An act of worship. One could almost say here that if gratefulness in prayer is an action of worship, then ungratefulness and unthankfulness is an action of non-worship. It puts us in a place where we're not worshiping God. And it's an action to do that. Either one is an action. Either one takes us to say, yes, I'm going to be thankful, or I'm going to be unthankful. But we have to decide the attitude of our heart. And most don't think actively in this way. They don't think about not worshiping God. They can come to church and sing the songs and say, well, I'm worshiping. But I'm mad. I'm not happy. But I'm worshiping. But I don't like this. And I don't like that. And this shouldn't be this. And this shouldn't be that. And all the complaining and everything in our lives, they're an act of non-worship. It goes against, opposite of, what we're supposed to do. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around this, but it's something that we actually have to choose to do or choose not to do. And many times, because of our backgrounds, because of our growing up, whatever it might be, we might have been trained to be ungrateful. Or maybe we taught ourselves to be ungrateful. Maybe we grew up in a difficult season where our parents may have been harsh, or maybe we didn't have anything, and all the people around us had all this stuff, and we had nothing. And so we were ungrateful for that. We wanted this. We wanted that. We wanted this. We wanted that. We couldn't do it. We couldn't go. We couldn't get involved in all the things the other kids did. And that carries on into adulthood. Then we get a job. Well, so-and-so has a nicer car than I do, and I want what they have, and I'm not content with what I have. So we either go get another job and work two jobs, or we decide we want this, we want that, and we try to go and find it, but we're discontent. And the thing is that what you'll find in that mindset is no matter what you have, you're going to always find yourself discontent because there's always something better that you want. And that's why we're focusing on the Lord. When you focus on Him, there's nothing better than that. That's why you can find your contentment in your relationship with Him, not in your circumstances. But if I'm overwhelmed with life, I don't feel like being thankful. Well, too bad. It's not about a feeling. It's not about a feeling. This is where true faith comes in. Our faith walk with Jesus Christ is not based upon how we feel. It's not based upon how things happen to us. It's not based on what we have or don't have. What our faith walk is we come to the point where we're thankful to a holy God who always sees us through. He always sees us through. And for those here who've been a Christian for any length of time, you've got testimony to that. You can share that testimony and say, look what God has done in my life. And oftentimes, that's what God will bring to our mind when we're going through a difficult season now. When we're going through something hard right now, the Lord would say, but remember who I am in you. Remember who I am. I'm a holy God. Remember what I've done. All through the Old Testament, we read the stories. Remember, remember, remember. That keeps coming up over and over. Remember the Lord your God. Don't forget what He's done for you. Don't drift off and go into another direction. Remember me. Be holy because I'm holy. He wants us to be holy in His holiness. And we need to be in focus of Him. He always sees us through, and He will carry us through whether we feel it or not. Amen. And that's a place that we as Christians have to come to, is that we take our emotions and we set them aside. We take our feelings and we set them aside, and we choose to walk not by sight, but by faith. And Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith and feelings are often incompatible. If you're relying on your feelings, then you're separating yourself from your faith. And if you're relying on your faith, then you don't have to worry in your feelings. They don't go together when a faith walk is in place. Feelings are based upon what we see, what we touch, what we hear, what we feel, and what we taste. These are the five basic senses that our flesh, that we have when we're born. We have these senses. That's what our finite mind can wrap around. Ooh, that's hot. I heard that. I'm watching. You know, when you got kids, I'm watching what you're doing. Always watching. And the kids say, how do they see everything? We always know. But these are the things of our flesh. True thankfulness, true walk of faith, and true thankfulness demands that we die to these basic things of the flesh. That we die to them. That they don't control us. That we're not living our life based on what we see and hear and touch and feel. God is above all that. And Jesus showed us that when He died and rose again, He was no longer even bound to the basic principles of science. He was able to walk through walls. He was able to do anything, go here, go there. He transposed Himself or transferred Himself from one place to the other. The thing is that when you are in your walk with the Lord, we're not dependent upon our flesh. But when we're dependent upon our flesh, then we are struggling in our walk with the Lord. And Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always, not just sometimes, always, for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now with all of this, Paul continues to say, now pray for who? All men. Pray for all men, for kings and authorities. That's what verses 1 and 2 tells us. And that includes our enemies. Now I'm going to stop here this morning because if I continue, I'm going to keep you way long because I've got a whole lot more notes to cover. But I want to stop right here, and we'll pick this back up next week. But I want us to understand as we leave today, and as we're talking about prayer, and we're talking about intercession, and we're talking about who we're supposed to be praying for, we are supposed to be praying for all of those in authority over us. We're to be praying for the lost. We're to be praying for those who are saved. We're to be praying for our brothers and sisters. We're to be praying for everyone the Lord lays upon our heart and within our circle, because we don't have the knowledge and understanding of how God's going to work in their life and if they will receive it or not. That's above my pay grade. It's not for me to know who's going to get saved and who's not. It's for me to be obedient to the Lord. And he says, pray for all men, for all kings and authorities, including our enemies. So keep that in your thoughts this week as we go home and we are praying and we're seeking the Lord. Pray for your enemies. And I'm not saying just pray that God would remove them, because that's our first instinct when you pray for your enemy. God, just remove them. Amen. Now, I interceded. I prayed for that person. No, we're to pray that God would touch their heart, that God would pour out His Spirit upon their lives, that He would burden them with the need to know Him, whatever it takes. And this is another thing that I want to encourage parents this morning in. This is a hard one, but I encourage you when you're praying for your kids that you release your kids to the Lord. Yes. Don't pray for them and then try to fix them. Don't pray for them and then come and shake them up because they're not walking right. And as parents, that's the hardest thing to do because we see the path that sometimes our kids are on and we don't want them on that path. Think for a moment, what path were you on when God saved you? I bet you weren't on the path your mom and daddy wanted you to be on. The Lord will move in the midst of every circumstance and every situation, and sometimes He allows people to get right at the bottom of their barrel so that He can find them in this broken place and they can reach out to Him. But if we as parents or as other people who love so much that we want to protect everybody, that we try to keep them out of everything they're going to get into, we have to release them to the Lord. Let God meet them where they're at. Let God do the work. Let His Holy Spirit do His work. And often that means that they have to go through difficult things, and we have to be okay with that. That's a hard one, but we have to be okay with it. We've got to let Him have our kids. Because truly, they're a gift from Him. We don't need to hoard them away and keep them from Him. And if we're trying to hide our kids away from trouble, we're actually hiding them away from the Lord. Give them to Him. Give those who you're praying for to the Lord. In love. Not in anger, not in bitterness, but in love. And let the Lord do the work. That's what we're called to do. Father, we do come this morning and we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your message of prayer. We thank You, Lord, that in this we can see basic principles of how we're to pray. Well, You gave us the model of prayer when you were on the Sermon on the Mount, and You taught us what the model of prayer is, and that model of prayer includes all of these things. It includes all of these things, Lord. It talks about forgiveness, forgiving others so that we may be forgiven. It talks about, Lord, putting you in a place where we're thanking you. Hallowed be your name, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, give us this day our daily bread. This is what we need. We don't need tomorrow's bread. We need today's bread. And forgive us our debts, or our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, let that be the model that we go by, but also let us know that as we pray, we can enter into supplications, we can enter into intercessions, but in all cases, we need to be entering in with thankfulness in our hearts. Soften our hearts to you, Lord. Soften our hearts to our enemies. Soften our hearts to those of whom we don't like being around. Lord, that your light would shine through us to them. And I just thank you for that, Lord, and I praise you. And glorify your name and all that you do and who you are with your children. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.